Well, you know, believe it or not, Passover season is just around the corner. Can you believe that's coming earlier this year? Some of us are going to be going to Squim and taking things over there, and some will be here. But it's time we start thinking about the Passover season. Time we start thinking about what our job is between now and then. If you're eligible to take the Passover but unable to meet, then there's alternatives available. Passover ordinance should be observed soon after sunset. This is some of the basic stuff you're familiar with. But as you know, this is one of the most solemn occasions, one of the most sobering times when we reflect on our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what he did so that we could have forgiveness of sin. You think about it, if Christ had not been crucified, if he had not died, there would have been no New Testament church. Holy Spirit would not have been shared with a wide group of people as it is today. It's a very sobering time when you think of the brutal beating, the pain, and the death he went through to become our Passover lamb. At the same time, we're sobered by the fact that we're recounting these events focuses on the victory over sin. Again, without that sacrifice, there would be no victory. There would be nothing waiting for us but sure death. By his sacrifice and dying in our place, that we might have a chance to live forever. It was a gruesome situation. But you know what? As you probably know, this was planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was crucified. It was decided by God the Father and Jesus Christ before there was a universe, before there was a world, the earth, before there was a sun, moon, and stars, that this would be the process by which we go through to be able to have the forgiveness of sin. He was going to create human beings, just like you and me, who are fallible, who would make mistakes, who would fall down and sin. And he had to provide a way for that growth to come throughout that lifetime of each individual so that we could grow out of sin. We could be more determined to leave sin behind and grow God's way. It's an annual reminder that God and Christ unconditionally sacrificed their son, his son, Jesus Christ, in unconditional love that was there. Christ endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. It was hard physically. It was hard emotionally. He prayed 3 times at the Garden of Gethsemane saying, God, remove this cup from me. He didn't want to face the trauma, but yet he knew, not my will, but your will be done, God. And he patiently endured the scourging, the beating, and the crucifixion. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives us instructions about this day as we can look forward to it now. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. For you do this in remembrance of me. Every year we do this annually to remind ourselves just how great that sacrifice was. When we take that bread and we bite into that unleavened bread, we are taking, in a sense, the symbolic symbol of Jesus Christ's very body, saying we acknowledge that sacrifice. We accept it. We take the forgiveness of sin, not for granted, but as unconditional love from God the Father and Jesus Christ. For you to do this in remembrance of me, verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. You know, some people accuse them of being cannibals. They were going to eat Christ's body, and they were going to drink his blood. And some people took that quite literally. Obviously, these are symbols that Christ was laying down, the New Testament, the new covenant symbols of Christ's sacrifice that was so essential for all humankind to have a chance to be saved. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's time we focus on this remembrance. We start thinking now about not taking the Passover unworthily. What does that mean, to take the Passover unworthily? Does that mean that we've sinned and therefore we're unworthy? No, we've all sinned. We take it unworthily like the Corinthians did. In 1 Corinthians, Paul rebuked them for it. Some were drinking, some were getting drunk, some were overeating. They were taking the symbols casually. They were respecting the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. They had not examined themselves thoroughly to prepare for that Passover season. Paul had to correct them. In 2 Corinthians, he wrote the letter saying, okay, you know, I sorry I had to rebuke you, but you know, look at the result of your change. What does it mean to change, to repent? Well, if you look at the real meaning, originally the word repent actually means a change of the mind. But if you think about it, in the Greek it means a change of the mind. But we know if we're changing our mind, we're changing our actions along with it. So it means we have to change, and that's what this whole process of life is all about. That's what we do. God gives us a chance. He lets us make mistakes. He gives us a way to be forgiven so we can pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and start all over again. Going on in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, again, what does it mean unworthy? Will be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But let a man examine himself, which is what we should be starting to do now, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks is in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Judgment to himself. He's going to say that eats judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. They weren't focusing on that bread of life that Jesus Christ gave his life for, and that blood that he shed so we could have the remission of sin. They weren't discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, some are weak. Some in the Corinthian church were weak. Some were sick, and many sleep. It's something we should not take casually, because it literally can mean our life if we don't take it in the right way. What does it mean to take it in an unworthy manner? It means that we haven't done this process. We haven't examined ourselves. We haven't looked at our real weaknesses and seen what we really need to change. And we haven't begun to change. That's an unworthy manner. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we've never sinned, because we all have. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Something we should be preparing to do now physically, but most of all mentally and spiritually. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Christ was sacrificed for us. He is the Lamb of God, as it says in John 1, 29. He is the Lamb of God. Think about the direction the last Passover took. Let's go back to Luke 22, verse 7 through 15. Luke 22, verse 7 through 13. This was the last time the disciples were going to meet with Christ, just before he was going to be crucified. It's the days of unleavened bread were here, as it says in Luke 22, 7 through 15. He told his disciples, go prepare for the Passover. So take this as a personal admonition. Go prepare for the Passover. It's going to be upon us shortly. But they did it physically as well. Then came the day of unleavened bread, it says here in verse 7, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare this Passover for us, that we may eat. So they said to him, well, where do we go? What do you want us to do? What do you want us to prepare? And he said, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall see, or say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And then he will show a large upper room, furnished upper room, where we make ready. So they went and they found it just as Christ had said. Now, was this a miracle? Was this something Christ had pre-planned? Probably not. But he knew the timing of God was perfect. They would be at the right place at the right time to see this man walking by with a pitcher of water. That wasn't a coincidence. God's perfect on his timing. There's so many cases in the New Testament where Christ was absolutely knowing where he was in his ministry. When he started out, he said, it's not my time yet, Mom. I can't turn this water into wine. I haven't even begun my ministry. Midway through, he said, it's not my time yet. I can't make too much attention to myself, or I won't be able to do the work I have to do that God's given me to do. And then toward the end of his ministry, the 3.5 years, he said, the time is short. He told his disciples he was going to leave them. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And when he finally was crucified and left dead in the grave, and then his body was somehow missing, they didn't believe he was really resurrected. What did it take for every one of those disciples who had been with him 3.5 years or longer, what did it take for them to realize that he really was resurrected, that he really was alive? The visual impact of seeing him in person. You know, Doubting Thomas said, well, I won't believe unless I can put my hand in his side and put it into the nail holes in his hands. What did it take for them to believe it? They each one individually had Christ appear to them, and then they believed. And Christ said, you know, blessed are you if you can believe without seeing. And that's us. We believe that Christ was resurrected, that he sits at the right hand of God. And he goes on to say in verse 14, when the hour had come, they sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And they said, with fervent desire, Christ said, I have desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. He knew what was coming. He could read the Old Testament prophecies of just how brutally he would be beaten, left nearly dead, and then hang on a stake on a tree or whatever it was, a cross. And then he instituted the New Testament symbols. What was the first one he chose? Foot washing. Christ came as a servant, and he has us go through this ritual of foot washing every year so that we can remember. It's not the greatest to stand up and lead the way who look more egotistical and are the dominant leaders that count. It's Jesus Christ's attitude of a servant that really matters. And that was the next symbol. After washing the disciples' feet, he set the theme for the whole evening. Then he would bring out the bread and the wine, and he would bless it, and would really bring home these New Testament symbols. So when we get ready to take the Passover, and not too many weeks from now, when we start thinking about what Christ and God the Father did to help us through that, remember, it's not just the wine and the bread. It's the literally, or not literally, but symbolically, the blood and the body of our Savior who gave us this opportunity. It's interesting to note also that Judas Iscariot was there when the foot washing began. This was the one that was going to be betraying him. He was still there. Christ knelt down and washed his feet, knowing that he was going to be the one that would turn him over to the leaders of the Jews, who would in turn encourage the Romans to kill him, and finally would bring about his death. What happened to Judas? Well, it's pretty clear. He hung on a tree. He hung himself. His body was bloated and hung there for some time until his bowels gushed out. And Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled because the potter field was bought with the gold, the 30 pieces of silver that he got. And then that's the way of the world. Satan got into Judas Iscariot and caused him to bring the death of our Messiah. And I'm sure Satan must have thought, finally, I'm done with this guy. But what he did, it fulfilled what God the Father and Jesus Christ had planned before the world was. He brought about our opportunity to be able to repent, to change, take the bread and the wine, and remember the sacrifice of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.